This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
Now, dear beloved people, Allah Most High says that the believers will never be left alone, meaning that you will never be in the comfortable state that you want. You know, we say, I want to be left alone. We mean that we don't want to be aggravated. We don't want to have our peace disturbed. We don't want annoyance. Anybody annoying us, right? You know, that's what we're expressing. We're expressing the desire to be left alone, left free from bother, aggravation, etc. So the Muslim life is a strenuous life, especially in an environment that rejects that life. So Allah, He guarantees us peace, a good state of life, even in a situation where we are outnumbered by people who reject our way of life. But it's on condition. What is the condition? The condition is that you be right. He don't give it to you and you be anything you want to be. No, you ain't going to get it. Be right. Then he'll get it. Then you'll get it. So what he says, it won't happen until when? Until the vulgar be separated from the good. Now, some people, they're vulgar. You know, they don't care about decent moral principles. They don't care about ethics. They just want to be left free to just do anything that mind, that crazy mind suggests. They don't want to come under any established values. They want to be free to do wrong, to do right whenever they please and as they want to. In other words, they are anarchists. Right? Yes, that's what they are, you see. So they don't want to be bothered. They just want to do anything. They don't have no respect for what we need as a whole. So those people have to be separated from the good people if we expect to get that condition that Allah wants for us. And in letting them go about their business, we are respecting their rights as individuals to choose their way of life. We ain't to follow them up. Say, why you left us? He's free to do that. We're not to say you're not living a good Muslim life, and you said you were Muslim. Some believe that an apostate, the one who renounces his religion after becoming a Muslim, and they quote the hadith, is to be killed by the Muslims. They quote hadith. They say one who renounces religion is to be killed by the Muslim. We have talked about this before. I'll tell you again. It is a traitor in the battlefield that is to be killed. One who declared he was a Muslim and with us, now we go to war and he takes sides with them, leave us and denounce his religion, say, no, I'm with you now. We're to kill that person. And that's a universal law. That's not only for Muslims. That's a universal law. Deserters in the heat of the battle, that you can kill them. Right. Oh, yes. So the history now is old. Allah didn't say he placed angels over the hadith to protect his purity. He said he placed angels over the Quran to protect his purity. So we know there are hadiths now that ain't fit to read. They are classified in different classifications. Sound, pretty sound, moderately sound, weak, moderately weak, severely weak, detestable. Yeah. Many hadiths have been rejected because we said that they're lies. They were lies. They weren't really what the Prophet said. They were nothing but lies. We had supposed to be the greatest authority on hadith living. And I hope he's still living. Brother, the learned Abdullah, his name, the one who worked with Jabir in preparing the book prayer in Al-Islam. He told us that the number of false hadith, if I remember correctly, is about 1/4 of the total volume of hadith. A whole lot of false hadith. He said, and they had to have experts down through the time, down through the history, who were called and they passed on. See, these people, you have to learn how to live like this. But Muhammad, he gave the Quran just like this. He gave the Quran to trustworthy individuals. And they were obligated to commit it to memory. They committed it to remembering. They couldn't make a mistake. They couldn't make any mistake. They were tested to see if they make any mistake. They couldn't make any mistake. And after they were found to be those who could say it, recite it just as the prophet gave it, and not make any mistake, and that had been established for that person, then he was called a hafiz. Or he was called one in whom Allah had deposited the Quran. Had favored with the gift, the deposit of the Quran. And those persons then, were obligated to train others. So that when they die, get old, there'll be fresh ones just like them. And they kept a number of fresh, well-qualified persons in the recitation of Quran available all the time. And believe me, the Sunnah has been kept that way too, although there's not near as many of such persons who have preserved the Sunnah as there are persons who have recorded or recited or remembered by heart the Quran and preserved it in its purity. Yes. Now, we know those individuals actually couldn't preserve it. It is by God's grace. Therefore, Allah said he has placed angels over it. Yes. Now, still we are keeping in mind the importance of an individual. Let us now look at another concern for us, and that is risk situations for the faithful person, the believer. You know, this religion considered the human limitations of the individual. When Prophet Muhammad first began preaching, he didn't obligate individuals that much. In fact, they were not even obligated to profess their religion openly. Not in the very beginning. Why? Because there were such dangers. There were such menacing, violent, threatening situations all around them, in their own home. Believer would be in his own home, and if his relatives learned that he believed in what Prophet Muhammad had brought, his life would be in danger. Yes, this was the days of ignorant Arabia, Jahiliyyah Arabia, Dark Age Arabia. So, Prophet Muhammad didn't obligate the individuals to profess their religion openly. You may say, well, why do we have to do it now? Because there is a community of Muslims established. Once the community of Muslims is established, then there is a place for them to go if they're rejected. But if you don't have no place to go, you have to be careful. They didn't have any place to go, their own relatives. Look what happened to Prophet Muhammad when he began to disclose it. After being able to convert a few people. Look what happened here. He was boycotted. He was exiled. Put out of Mecca. Him and his small group of followers. They were not denied the benefits of the society, business, commerce. They couldn't do business. They couldn't purchase their needs. Under those conditions, many of the wonderful people that Prophet Muhammad had invited to the religion suffered physical problems, health problems, that eventually caused their death. Yes. In fact, it was under those conditions that the Lady Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, his wife, died. And there were others outstanding in the history of Al-Islam that died under those conditions. And Allah says in the Quran, do you think you're going to be accepted on just saying I believe and not be tried as others have been tried? And what does he say? He say you have to be prepared to spend in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah, your lives and your possessions. Your possessions and your lives. Don't you know, man has not come into his rights without accepting that kind of risk? So don't think that this is just religion. Religion asks the least. Man making himself the authority, he asks most of us. But true religion asks the least of us when it comes to man's demands on his fellow man. Look how much man's independent jurisdiction has demanded of us in this modern day. Did God ever ask us to work 3 jobs just to live? There are some of us working 3 jobs just to live. I mean, just to live fairly comfortable. They ain't rich, they're poor. 3 jobs. And many are not working 3 jobs, but you work 2. And then there's someone else in the household, a wife or a son, a daughter, somebody working another one, that's 3. Just to manage 1 household, just to take care of 1 family. So have Allah ever enslaved us like that? No. God has never enslaved man like that. It's man, when he takes upon himself to do as he please and not follow God's dictate, the dictates that God established, then we are oppressed in the worst way. We become the worst victim. No, Allah's way is free. His way frees us. His way frees us from a man, from man's oppression. And they want you to turn against religion so they can oppress you without you complaining. So, in the face of high risk, when the society has not been established, that is, when Muslims, a place for Muslims to feel safe in, has not been established, it's different from our obligation in the face of risk or dangers when that is established. There's a difference between it being established and it not being established. All right? So, when Prophet Muhammad went to Medina, in fact, a little while before the establishment of the community in Medina, Prophet Muhammad began telling the people that they had declared this openly. You are to declare your religion openly. And as a result of him doing that, they were persecuted. But already there were Muslims who had made their home a welcome place for the believers. The relative of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with him, Abdul Muttalib, he had made his home a secure place for the Prophet and for the faithful companions of the Prophet. Later there came others who had accommodations, and they made their accommodations safe places for the Prophet and his following peace be upon him. See? It was at that time when the Prophet starts telling them they are obligated to confess their religion or to profess it openly. But the opposition came, and they had overwhelming numbers, and it was in Allah's plan that it should happen, to show their cruelty. So that here is a man coming with nothing but things that benefit you, and look how you treat him. So it was Allah's plan to leave it in history so we could see that those that he sent Muhammad to overcome wasn't fit to have the jurisdiction or the authority. So they came against him, and they mistreated them cruelly, caused them to suffer unjustly. Says, and why do they mete out these cruelties to us? Say they mete them out simply because we say Allah is God. That was why they heaped all that cruelty upon Prophet Muhammad and his followers. It was because he said Allah is God. Now, why should that disturb individuals to make them come out? Why? Because it unseats them as God. They had made themselves God over the people, running their life without anyone checking them. And when you say, La ilaha illallah, there's but one God, and it's not you. It's not you people who are made and born and die like I do. It's the one who made all this and make life and even your energies and your visions possible for you. Yeah, that disturbs them, because they know that's ending their despotic rule. Yes. They can't be the absolute authority anymore. So believers, understand that in the light of what's going on right here today. Because these people are very deceitful. They attack you for your righteousness. And they use other reasons for attacking you. They claim that you have other faults. But the same fault that they claim they're attacking in you, you see them excusing that fault when it's much bigger in other people. So that should tell you that they're not really attacking that fault in you. It's your righteousness that they hate. Blame us with petty problems, petty defects, and say we are not fit, we are not the ones to listen to because of these petty defects. And their main buddies got mountains of the same defects in them. But they don't bother them. They're happy with those buddies because those buddies won't stand up for justice. This is a religion that brings comfort to the hearts of the believers. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Now, let's just read from Quran. The 91st chapter of Quran, titled The Sun, Surah Al-Shams. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The first verse says, Wash-shams wa duhaha. By the sun and its brightness. We know duha is daybreak. The daybreak, the light coming, rising up. The opening of the darkness by light. And the next verse says, Wal-qamari idha talaha. And the moon when she followeth it. Here is the sun, and its brightness is brought to our mind. The sun has much greater brightness than the moon. So it says, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And by the moon, as she follows it, means following the sun. And the next verse says, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And by the day, when it reveals it. Reveals what? When it reveals it. Or discloses it. And the next verse says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And by the night, when it enshrouds it. There's him. He interchanges here. We're going to say it for all of them. And by the night, when it, referring to the night, enshrouded it. It, referring to what? Then the next verse says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَّاهَا. And by the heavens, and how it is established, or structured,
how it is structured. Bina means to build something. So Bina refers to construction. And the sky and how it is constructed. Before going to the next verse, do we have any light on this from Quran? Yes. Allah says, and observe the sky, how it is raised up, and there is no pillars or structures holding it up. That you can see. This is Quran. All right? So, says, and by the sky and how it is constructed. So we are to understand that it is not constructed like the earth. The earth, the construction on the earth is supported by earth. You have to mound up material to support material. But the heavenly bodies up in the sky, they're material too. But there are no visible signs that any material is supporting it. So it says, and by the heavens, and how it is constructed, or how it is built up. And the next verse, the sixth verse says, وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تَحَاهَا, and by the earth, and how it has been spread out. وَمَا تَحَاهَا. And the seventh verse says, وَالنَّفْسِنْ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and by the soul, and how it is proportioned, or how it is balanced. Now, what are these verses referring to, 1 through 7? To the soul. To the soul. Now let's go and read again. And by the sun, and its brightness. What brightness? The brightness that the soul needs. And by the moon, as it follows it. What discipline follows it? Follows what? Follows the sun. Follows the sun. But follows the sun on what principle? What substance? What is aiding? What is making it possible for the soul to follow the sun? The moon. The moon. All of this referring to the soul. So the soul needs the moon. Needs the sun. Soul needs the moon. And it goes on, say, and by the day, as it discloses it. Discloses what? The soul. The mysteries of the soul are disclosed in the day. As it discloses it. It what? The soul. And then we're going over them because we said it is referring to the soul. Now it says, and the heaven as it is built, and we know the Quran and other place Allah has said in the Quran, without structures as we can see. All that, that we can see. So, and the heavens as it is built up, as it is built up. Yes, the heavens are built up. Build up in relationship to what, though? What are we talking about? The soul. The needs of the soul. The soul needs what we are talking about. These are the needs of the soul. So it is coming to a climax. This is a progression toward a climax. Right? Build it up. You can tell the way the verses are read. Just the hearing of the verses tell you that he's building up to something. The revelation is building up to something. So it says in the sixth, and the earth, and how it is spread, and how it is spread. What is that referring to? The soul. There's a need in the soul for the earth to be spread out. Okay? Now it comes to the seventh, and it comes right to the point. It comes to the point it was driving at with the seven verses, with the six previous, preceding verses. It says, and the soul, and how it is balanced. Proportion. This word sawah is very, very rich in meaning. It means given comfort, release. Something that is sawah means that it has found its place. Its place. And when it finds its place, so it rests well.
is situated nice because it has found its place. You see? So sawa means equality. Sawa means balance. Sawa means balance in terms of its structure. If it has many, many parts to it, it means balance in terms of all of its parts. Sawa is very rich in meaning, but we can nail it down to just a couple of words, balance and equality.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.